Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. This is Mike Abendroth. Let me just give you a little inside scoop here in the No Compromise headquarters. I used to do the show live, but it's too much trouble. People would walk into the church and need some help, or leg was cut off or something. I'd have to stop the show, and the show must go on. And so we record the show and play it. You know, it's like a week late or a couple weeks late. It just depends. And so what I'll do is I'll begin recording a show, and at the first minute, I just sound really dopey, dopier than normal. Then I'll just stop and record over it. But once I get after about up to 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes, then why go back? I mean, people make mistakes when they talk, and you know, you get what you pay for kind of thing. I have a day job. So anyway, I just got done recording about 17 minutes into this show, and the little recording deal didn't have enough space on it for the rest of the show. And so 17 minutes of my life wasted for what? I'm just down the drain, man. That was awful. It's on a roll. It's like the best No Compromise radio show ever. It would have propelled us into the stratosphere. My own pride. Anyway, you can write us at info@nocompromiseradio.com. We are also going to Israel, as you know. I'm not going to promote it that much longer because pretty soon it'll be too late. L-A-T-E, late, tarde. And you won't be able to go. So if you want to go to Israel, here's one thing that I want you to know about the Israel trip. Since I'll be in charge of the trip along with Pat, my brother, we like to go to a site and then we like to say to the guy, we need to go have some espresso now. And they have to take us where we want because we're the team leaders. So if you like coffee, what's the place that's in, it's in Israel? There's a place right there in Jerusalem. It's a great coffee shop. It reminds me of, you know, like a Starbucks kind of place, but I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's not Barista. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'll probably have to bring some Vias along, the Starbucks Vias, because you have to travel with those, because even without hot water, as long as you have water, bottled water, you could still have a coffee if you wanted to. Now, for No Compromise today, for the second time, 17 minutes, it's a long time to waste. We're talking about Jonah, the book of Jonah, fascinated with the book of Jonah. It's full of surprises. It's full of the sovereignty of God. It's full of salvation. See, how great is that? That is Southern Baptist alliteration for you right there. Why study the book of Jonah? It talks about the sovereignty of God. It's full of surprises. It's got the supernatural nature of God and the salvation of God. How many other S's could you want? I mean, see, we have to have some mnemonic devices. That's what we need. So I want to talk to you about Jonah and just talk about life and salvation and the person and character of God, because it is such a great book. You need to go read the book of Jonah, all four chapters, out loud, and you'll just say to yourself, wow, it is amazing. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call it against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And so the first thing I want to make sure you get as we just work through passages slowly so we can figure these things out and we don't miss these little nuggets that the Lord has for us. What are those little candies that people had back in the 60s and 70s? And they were a little sack, not burlap sack, but tiny. You could put it in your hand. And they had little nuggets, and they were gold nuggets, some kind of Yukon Cornelius gold nuggets or something. And instead of real gold, because, you know, it's only 29 cents or whatever, they were nuggets of gum, I think bubble gum. I like one of those. I wouldn't like you to send me one, but I think I'd like one of those. Those are good little nuggets, the nuggets of truth that are found in there. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, dove, the son of Amittai, son of truth. And God's word comes. I mean, just it is out of the gate, bang, no preparation. That's not, well, once upon a time, and there's some characters and character development, plot development. I mean, out of nowhere, bang. Now, some would say, who is Jonah? What's the background of Jonah? Some would say, you know, that lady's son that was brought back to life by Elijah, that widow's son in 1 Kings 17, a little bit of wordplay and a little bit of rabbinic and a little bit of tradition, and you put it all together, and what pops out? That son's name was Jonah. Well, I don't think that was the case. But this particular Jonah, son of Amittai, he gets a message from God. And before we go any farther, now just think about this for a second. God speaks. God discloses. God unveils his mind, revealing his mind to people. Now, nature, of course, Psalm 19, displays, proclaims, pours forth, declares who God is generally. That's why we call it general revelation. And I know I talk about mysticism a lot on this program, and I know I talk about general versus specific revelation a lot. And here's one of those cases as well, Romans 1, right? Powerful, wise, God reveals himself. But here, this is particular revelation, specific revelation. We're not talking about sights and sounds. We're talking about words. Now, here's the weird thing. If you have a little idol, I collect some idols when I go to different countries. The common thing about all these idols, besides they're all laying down on their face in my home, they don't talk. I can see them. I can touch them. I can smell them. They don't smell. Well, maybe some of them smell. I can't hear them. I can't hear them. But I could see them. Now, you think about the God of Israel. Think about Yahweh. You think about the God of the universe, the God who made you. John 4, he's spirit, doesn't have body. You know, of course, Jesus has his body now in heaven. I get all that. But you cannot see God, but you can hear him. He speaks. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, that is amazing that God speaks. He tells us what he's thinking. He tells us what we should know. And he tells us things that we could never come up with on our own. There's no way you could figure out some of this stuff. You couldn't invent it. You couldn't make it up. You couldn't use empiricism or rationalism to figure out how great God is. You could not figure it out on your own. Now, I love 1 Corinthians 2. We think it's a verse about heaven. Now, while it might be true of heaven, it has nothing to do with heaven in context. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Will heaven be cool? Will heaven be so wonderful we could never imagine with our eye or ear, our heart? Yeah, of course. But what is this talking about? This is talking about revelation. This is how God is revealing himself, the wisdom of salvation, the truth of God. It comes from him. It's not coming from our nose, mouth, ear, skin, or eyes. He, God, has prepared wisdom for us. And that you only understand this because he's given you these things. And not just to some small little tiny group, but through the apostles, and then now we can understand about election and the atonement and eternity past and the person and work of Christ and these deep things. These things God has revealed to us, 1 Corinthians 2:10, through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. all these unfathomable deep things of God's nature, his mind, his personality, the Godhead. God reveals himself. You cannot get to know these things by yourself. God freely has to give them. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. And so Jonah receives the revelation from God, and God basically says this: I've had enough of their iniquity, of their pride, of their wickedness, of their paganism, of their evil, of their bad things, bad stuff. Sometimes people translate that word evil. And I've had enough. Go preach to them. Cry out against them. What I want you to do is arise, go and preach with urgency, with authority. Go preach to them. Oh yeah, lots of prophets might say, this is the judgment upon the Gentile nation. But here we have Jonah having to go. Go travel 20, 30 days to get there and preach to this great city, Nineveh. Now, Nineveh has its origins back in Genesis chapter 10, where Nimrod had a kingdom and built the city Nineveh, Genesis 10, 11. And Nineveh, east of the Tigris, is where we would have our modern city today, Mosul, Iraq. And Nineveh was Assyria's capital, and it was home base for these Assyrians. And it was typical of a pagan city back in those days. If you're just tuning in right now, we're talking about Jonah and Nineveh. And Nineveh, they had paganism galore, false god Ishtar, and she was the god of war, she was the god of love, she was the god of sex, and there's this great city that would worship her. And enough was enough. God needs to get involved with these superstitious, wicked, cruel, pagan people who are self-confident boasters. Even Isaiah chapter 10 talks about the king of Assyria with his pomp, the pomp of his haughtiness. I mean, it's one thing to have pomp. It's another thing to have haughtiness. It's another thing, and the pomp of his haughtiness. That sounds bad, doesn't it? That sounds bad on any station, including this one. For he has said, this is the king of Assyria, by the power of my hand and my wisdom I did this, for I have understanding. And I removed the boundaries of the peoples and plundered their treasures, and like a mighty man I brought down their inhabitants. This group of idolatrous, proud people, you got to go preach to them. And they had some funky things going on there with Dagon, half man, half fish, all kinds of stuff. Just these people, go preach. So Warren Wiersbe, he says verses 1 and 2, the command of God, go. Verse 3, the action of the minister, no. No, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. No, I'm not going to do it. You know, I get to some degree what's happening here. And even when you look in the Old Testament, Moses, I want you to be my prophet, my spokesperson, and I want you to preach and teach and talk, and here's what I want you to go tell Pharaoh, and all these kind of things. Moses said to the Lord, Exodus 4:10, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And you know, Moses, he thought, I'm not the right one to talk. And of course, God said, I'll be with your mouth, teach you what to speak. Oh, please send someone else. Anger of the Lord is kindled. But to me, Moses' case is a lot different than Jonah's. Jonah's is basically no. And you know, on a bad day, you'd probably say to yourself, along with the readers, the people who are reading this, well, yeah, of course he's going to say no. What do you expect a prophet from the north to do anyway? He's going to say no. Forget it. And the language of the scripture here in Jonah, there's a lot of down, down, down. I was sinking deep within. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going down to Tarshish. He went down into the boat later. Down, 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 down. Chapter 2, he went down to the bottom of the mountains, running from God. Down, 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 down. And the text says he's going to go to Tarshish. So just imagine a map, and here's Israel. Just pick any spot in Israel. And you go up over here to the right to go to Iraq. That's where God wants him to go. So go down to the left, and you say, I think I'll go to Spain instead. Okay. Jonah 4, it said, Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. So Jonah's running, fleeing. He's not just walking. He's not just skipping. He's running. It's pell-mell. It's hither-thither. It's fast. I've got to get out of here. Now, what's going through Jonah's mind? Can we figure it out? Well, probably a couple things. First one, maybe not so much, but I'll just talk about it because we're back up to almost 17 minutes again. I hope it doesn't blink out again. You know, if I go there to preach and they don't repent, you know, they're pagan, idolatrous people, people might think I'm not a good preacher. People might think I'm not a good proclaimer. Maybe like seeker sensitive stuff and growth, and I got to get some numbers and nobody's going to respond. And when I give the call to salvation, the altar call, what if nobody comes up to the front? What if I then say somebody wants to rededicate their life, nobody comes? Then if somebody wants to join the church, nobody comes. Somebody wants to get baptized, nobody comes. We need somebody to mow the lawn, nobody comes. I mean, you've got these guys that just will just keep going at the end of a message till there's some visible movement. Somebody's got to get out of their seats. I always think to myself, boy, would I hate to be in some small church out in the middle of nowhere? Oh, I am. that's true. No, but I'm not finished yet. I'd hate to be in a small church out in the middle of nowhere with an Arminian altar callish pastor who every week had to do altar calls and all these other things, and there's only like 15 of us. I don't care how many people are at the church. You know, I'm not concerned about the numbers of the church, how big, what kind of a city. You know how I think it's so foolish when people are like, how big's your church? It doesn't have to do anything with anything. How long have you been at the church? What you preaching at your church? Tell me what the Lord is doing at your church. There's a lot of questions that you could ask somebody that aren't so awful as how many people are at your church. But just think, if you were at a small church, small town, big town, small church, all of a sudden every week, what do you do for results? What do you do for people coming up to the front? What do you do to make yourself feel good that there was actually a deal closed? I don't know what you'd do, but I'd feel bad. I think I'd probably move to a bigger town and a bigger church. That's probably what I would do. Some kind of major, you know, some big OPC church or something. If I go there and preach, says Jonah, nobody's going to listen and they're going to think I'm a bad preacher. Now, maybe that went through his mind, but most likely, in all likelihood, Jonah is thinking this way. If I go and preach, God wants me to go and preach. He wants me to go preach for a reason. But if I go and preach, and often people get changed through preaching, often the sovereignty of God works through human responsibility of preaching. And to use New Testament terms, faith comes by hearing a message about Christ. If I go preach and these Ninevites, these Ishtar, Dagon, awful people, idolaters, prideful, cruel, wicked, rebellious, pagans, if they repent, their nation is going to be stronger, more healthy, more hygienic. They're going to be a healed nation. And God has already talked about how he is going to use Assyria to chasten Israel. I'd rather have a weak, emaciated, chastened, disciplined, punished, it's a better word, country to take care of Israel, because maybe it won't hurt so much. I'm sure that's what Jonah was thinking. Isaiah sees the Lord high, exalted, lifted up, holy, 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 and he is undone. I used to have integrity, I don't. I used to have integrity, I'm disintegrated. I can't just stand before you, I'm undone. And now, Jonah hears the message, and he is, I am so out of here. And it says, the text does, that he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Now, if you don't really think through it very quickly, and you don't really have a background in some of the culture and the language, and you don't read a lot of the Old Testament, you're immediately going to think, now, wait a second. He's a prophet. He must know that God's omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He must know that God is just as much in Tarshish as he is in Nineveh. He knew Psalm 139. He knows Psalms. He wrote a psalm in the fish's belly. So what's happening here? He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Doesn't Jonah 1:9 even say? Jonah says to the sailors, "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Well, I think Tarshish is on the dry land. I think Mosul's on the dry land. Nineveh. He's sovereign over all that, and you got to be around to be sovereign. You can't just be sovereign and not be there. So omnipresence and sovereignty relate to one another. So what do you mean in the presence of the Lord? Well, here's what happens. You go to your Lord, and he gives you some duties to do. You stand in his presence, and he tells you what to do, and then you go do it. So Elisha says, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand," 1 Kings 17:1. Elisha, in 2 Kings 5, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I receive none." And so you stand in front of God. He tells you the marching orders. You're the servant. You're the prophet. And you go, you know what? No, I'm not. Standing in the presence of the Lord is receiving marching orders. As Ralph Davis talks about Jonah, he says Jonah didn't want to be involved in Project Nineveh. There's no way. You get somebody else, I'm not going to do it. I'm not fleeing from your presence omnipresently. I'm fleeing from your presence as a prophet. I don't want to be, I quit. It's Monday morning, I'm a pastor, I quit. Did you know pastors quit every Monday morning? Because, of course, they are frail and sinful, and they aren't perfect or anything, but what they go through on Sunday and dealing with themselves and everybody else, and then you just wake up on Monday, and it's like, I quit. But Monday night, you're ready to start up again. But he says, basically, I quit. I'm running from my office as prophet. He's not saying he's running from God's presence. He's running from God as official minister. I resign. I quit. I'm out of the ministry. This is Monday morning. I quit. So I'm going to go get a ship. And you know what? Israelites weren't big seafaring people, were they? And off he goes, going in the exact wrong direction. Now, when I was a kid, I loved the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers in the black and blue division played teams like, they still do, Detroit, Chicago, Bears, the Bears, and then Minnesota. Minnesota, fearsome, foursome. Carl Eller, Jim Marshall, those guys. I mean, they were tough. October 25th, 1964. Minnesota Vikings versus San Francisco 49ers. Jim Marshall recovers a fumble and runs 66 yards to the end zone. But he ran the wrong way. He ran into his own end zone. He thought he made a touchdown, so he threw the ball away in a celebration. It goes out of bounds. That means it's a safety for the 49ers. The wrong way, running the wrong way. And that's exactly what Jonah did. I'm going to go the exact way. I'm going to go the exact way. No, I'm going the exact opposite way. I'm going to Tarshish. I'm going not like a month's journey away. I'm going 2,500 miles away. Yeah, I know God's going to be there, but I'm just quitting my office. I know he fills the heavens and the earth, as Jeremiah would say, but I'm going from my office. I'm trying to run from the call of God. Well, my name is Mike Abendroth. I'm not trying to run from anything, but I actually got this thing recorded this time. And I want you to know we're just looking at some things in Jonah. Aren't you glad God reveals himself? And we're going to find out that God can work through and over and around disobedient prophets who run the wrong way. Glad God's sovereign over people like that, aren't you?
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.